Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Happy Friday morning to you. What's going to happen this weekend? What are you doing? You got plans? I'm actually going to be doing a lot of baseball, probably. So my plans are baseball and swimming pool. That's it. How about you, Mello? You got something planned?
We got basketball games for my little guy and then cleaning out the chicken coop like four times a day, apparently.
Basketball in May?
Yeah, he's in the little league with Nets on Fire.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I'm not, nothing wrong with that. It's just kind of weird time of year for basketball. But nowadays, a lot of young athletes will go to one sport and play that sport all year long.
So. I'm hoping it's basketball because it's always in an inside unit. It's like not outside.
Oh, you do not want your kid to be a baseball kid because the baseball fans are the hardiest humans on planet. It can either be snowing and 10 degrees or it can be 110 degrees out there. Or raining or whatever. You just never know with baseball.
I know. I'm rooting for basketball, but he's starting tackle football this year. So he really likes to take people down.
Generally speaking, tackle football otherwise, it's pretty good. It doesn't get too cold unless you live in Logan or something. It doesn't get too cold. It is a little hot at the start of the year, but that's not bad.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
All right, in the news, by the way, welcome everybody. I'm Andy. She's Mello.
Hello.
And Mello, I don't know if people know this. Mello is in that other room. We look at each other through double thing of glass, and she's actually in a room that doubles as the Fox Sports studio.
Yes.
And she takes calls over there, so I can turn her mic down. If she says something I don't like, or if the phone rings, I can turn her mic down.
Censorship.
Maybe sometimes. Mm-hmm. Going on tomorrow, by the way, is the Republican convention where they'll elect the state leader, Rob Axon versus Phil Lyman. I bring this up because I'm not real big into the state Republican and all that stuff, but this race is an interesting one, and maybe it'll get some of you fired up out there and you want to call or text or whatever, and that's fine. We'd love to hear your voice. It is open line Friday after all, and you can call. I've talked with Rob Axon a few times on the phone. I've talked with Phil Lyman a couple of times. He actually was on the show once, and I'm going to give you my perception, kind of perhaps related to public perception, and that is this, that I like Rob Axon. I think he's doing a good job. I think he's putting an effort in to make the Republican Party as good as it can. I think Phil Lyman, who ran for governor and then drew up a lawsuit because he lost, that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And a lot of people say, well, yeah, but he did this and this. Well, okay. So what happened is this. Spencer Cox, instead of going the convention route, he paid to paid a company to gather signatures. Well, after they investigated, they found a lot of the signatures they gathered were invalid to the point where he actually wouldn't have enough signatures right now to qualify for the ballot, Mello. Spencer Cox would not be on the ballot, except that they turned it in way early. I think had he known that some of the signatures would have been invalid, he just would have paid or gotten more. Mm-hmm. So I really don't like Phil Lyman's claim that, well, Spencer Cox's election is illegitimate because he didn't win by, he won by like 20 something points in the primary. And what Phil Lyman has done in drawing up that lawsuit and kind of being, I got to be careful here. I don't want to say the words that would make people angry. Kind of being a really squeaky wheel, I guess is a nice way of putting it. It's made a lot of us mainstream voters kind of not really happy with the guy. We don't like squeaky wheels you talk about being a good, a sore loser versus a good loser, sportsmanship, stuff like that. If you lose, you need to shake. Look at Willie Billings. He lost by 10 votes to Joe Elison in Hurricane. Did Willie drop a lawsuit? No. Did Willie whine and make, no. He stood up, shook Joe by the, took Joe by the hand, shook his hand and said, congratulations, sir. Yeah. And went on with life. And I know you can make a case, Phil Lyman, people are like, well, yeah, but he had a legitimate case. Cox didn't have enough signatures. Well, Cox probably could have got enough signatures if he wanted, and he did win by a bunch of points. Not like it was a 10-vote difference. Mm-hmm. So anyway, my perception, now that Lyman is running against Axon for the state Republican chairman or whatever it is and president, I feel like there's no reason to replace Axon. I just think if Lyman loses, there might be another lawsuit. So anyway, that's going on tomorrow. 4,000 delegates from around the state of Utah will converge on Orem's Utah Valley University, and they will vote on that, among many other things. So it'll be interesting. I know I have friends who will be up there at that, and we'll see. All right, more serious matters now. It has to do with something you said the other day, Mello.
Uh-oh, I don't remember.
I remember it because I was a little bit taken aback.
Oh, gosh, okay.
And by the way, I heard somebody the other day giving a public speech, and they said they were taken back. And I was like, do they know that it's taken aback? There's an A at the beginning. If you're taken back, they're returning you at Costco, right?
Or rewinding what you thought you heard. I don't know. It could go both ways.
The phrase is taken aback, okay. Not taken back. Just for the record.
Now
anyway, I was taken aback with the idea that, so I really, really, really like soft serve ice cream.
Oh, gosh.
I really, really like soft serve ice cream. So I expressed this to my good friend, Mello Finlinson, on Wednesday, and she gave me the skank face. She's like,
skank face, you
did.
That.
You gave me the skanky
it's
face.
Skunk face.
No, it was a skank face. It was bad. You were like, I want to die. Ew, how could you possibly even like that stuff? Are you telling me you don't like a Wendy's Frosty, which is basically soft serve ice cream?
I do not like those.
Really?
No.
Wait a minute. You don't like a Frosty?
No.
Where are you? Are you from Canada? Are you from the Soviet Union? Are you from Uzbekistan? How could you not like a Frosty? I've never met a human alive that didn't like a Frosty.
I don't like them. From In-N-Out Burger, I really like their strawberry shakes.
Okay,
but that's
a shake
soft,
is kind of soft serve.
That's soft as I like it. I like hard ice cream. I like a big, I like a cone, and I like scoops
scoop,
on top.
A big round scoop on it.
Yeah, Digby's has some yummy ice cream. Yeah,
Digby's has an incredible soft serve
hard ice cream. Yes, they do. I do.
They have both. Yeah,
I do like Nielsen's custard. I like frozen custard.
Okay.
Like Blizzard's. I like that, but I wouldn't just eat. I will eat. Okay, I like ice cream. I will eat a soft serve.
Oh, we will, yeah.
But do I prefer a hard?
Because I'm not dissing on hard ice cream. I want a scoop of, you know, whatever, two Baskin-Robbins, two scooper, you know, that kind of. Although I noticed now, you pay for a two scooper at somewhere like Baskin-Robbins, it's like $7 or something now.
You can buy a whole gallon.
Can I get a home equity loan to buy a three scooper? I mean, because that's what it's going to take anymore. But
yeah.
Anyway, so soft serve. I just love, I don't know if it's me getting older or what, but I just love soft serve ice cream. I like it to be kind of melty a little.
Oh, I do not. No.
Yeah.
Maybe I've had too many kids eating ice cream like that in my car and like trying to have
dripping
them
all over.
Reaching back with my arm while I'm driving, trying to get them a napkin or take it from them before it falls on their car seat.
I can see that, yeah.
But I like nuts in my ice cream and chocolate and like all the fixings.
It is fun to have little brownie pieces or something like that. And Menchie's makes a living of, you know, you go and get your little frozen custard, whatever, to frozen yogurt, and then you can put however many different things on. I remember one time I had a 13.9-ounce Menchie's.
Oh,
which,
my gosh.
That is huge, folks. And I was kind of it. Now I was going to share it. It wasn't just for me, but I had this huge one. Usually, generally speaking, a Menchie's, you know, the little cups, and they put the stuff, you can come in about 8 ounces or nine or something like that, maybe 10, but 13.9 is a little
That's
overdoing.
That's a big boy. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Froyo.
No?
Mm-mm.
No. Now, I think Menchie's has ice cream, too, but it's soft serve, so that would kind of mean that Mello doesn't want it. All right, so I don't know that we've established anything, except I like soft serve, and you like it hard.
Right. I'm just glad it was an easy topic. I was so worried what you were going to talk about.
I know. Well, okay, so, but here's what we've got to determine now. Number one, soft serve versus hard. What places in town would you find the best hard ice cream, that you know, the scoops, and what places in town would have the best soft serve? I'll start first. Best soft serve to me, every time I go to Digby's, which mm-hmm. is a restaurant, not a restaurant, a grocery store out there. I don't know if it's in Santa Clara. I think it is in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Their soft serve, you go in and turn right. And they have this little deli area and they have hard ice cream for Mellow and they have soft serve ice cream. And I always get the twist and I just, you know, $2 or something. I can get mm-hmm. myself a big old thing of twist. And by the way, Digby's is not paying us. We're not getting paid by Menchie's or Handles or anybody. Nobody's sponsoring this segment. It's just us. But yeah, as far as soft serve, I like to go to Digby's. Costco's is a pale comparison. And then, you know, the big, you know, you got your McDonald's and Dairy. By the way, McDonald's machine is always broken anyway. But,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, McDonald's and Dairy Queen, some of the big boys, they're fine. But to me, the best soft serve around for just ice cream, not custard, but just ice cream, I think it's got to be Digby's. If you want to throw the custard in and maybe some flavors, Zeppi's is hard to beat, man. Zeppi's
is amazing, I do like that with, like, the Italian ice. I do like that one, too.
And it's funny, you go in and you're like, hey, what flavor do you want? And, what flavor do you want? Red.
Yes, like, me too.
Red is not a flavor. Come on. I'm like, it's, I don't know. It's red. Give me the red one. I don't know what it
is. You know which color it is, sir. Yes. Yeah.
So, okay. How about the, I'll defer to you on the hard ice cream because I'm not, I like it, but I'm not an aficionado. Do you have a place that serves the best hard ice cream?
I actually like to go to Lynn's and just buy a tub of it. Oh, and I buy the ice cream cones myself. My first job was Dairy Queen.
Okay.
So I know
but
how
to. But they're soft serve, right?
No, it's hard. I get the hard ice cream. I buy the hard ice cream.
No, but I mean DQ. You said DQ.
Yeah, it's soft, but you add a lot of mixing, so it's like a blizzard.
Okay. But if you were going to go buy a scoop somewhere, is it Baskin Robbins? Is it Handles?
I guess Handles is pretty yummy. I like Handles. Yeah. But I don't, like, go and just go buy a scoop of ice cream. If I want ice cream, I'll go to the grocery store and buy it.
Okay.
But I do make a really mean dessert. Have you ever had the asphalt pie?
Oh, yeah.
Over it.
Oh,
I can make that at home.
Oh, yeah. I never thought in my life, speaking of the asphalt pie, that Oreo mint ice cream and caramel sauce would go with it.
Mm.
And then they did it, and mm-hmm. I tried it, and I was like, okay, I'm good with it. Yeah, that's,
Heaven. Yeah. So I make that at home. So I'll go buy the mint chocolate chip and I'll make my Oreo crust and I'll put it in and then I freeze it.
How long have you been coming here, Mello, on the show?
I don't know. I think it's been 2 years,
2 years,
Andy, I think.
So 2 years and you're telling me just now and you've never shared with me that you make a homemade asphalt pie.
I know. Well, I don't make it very often because I have to plan ahead to make that. I have to do it the night before.
I know you have shared with me, what do you call it, your crack sauce, whatever the sauce you make it for Fourth of July.
Yeah, the caramel syrup.
That is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time learning about the asphalt pie thing.
Yes, it's a request of my sister-in-law's. Okay. I'll do it, like if they have a baby or if they need something special, I'll do it.
All right. Did want to get, before we get going too far on the show, by the way, in about 8, 9, 10 minutes, somewhere in there, I'm going to be giving away some tickets to TuaCon. Now, Little Mermaid opened last week. These are not Little Mermaid tickets. These are, in fact, Wizard of Oz tickets. Wizard of Oz opens this week. So I have 2 tickets for Friday, and I have 4 total tickets for Saturday. But I'm going to be giving away some tickets during the course of this show. So it would behoove you to sit and listen what's happening with Mello and her daughter right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Tickets are coming up. Okay. Your daughter, the update, she's 21 years old.
Mm-hmm. Almost 22.
Almost 22. She does not want to get a job. She can't keep a job because she doesn't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried to move in back home. You set up a camper trailer outside your house for
mm-hmm.
her.
Mm-hmm.
And then last time you were in there, you smelled
the
marijuana.
Weed. Right. Yeah. And that's after I spent $1,400 to hook up power outage.
$1,400 for her.
Yeah, to like have the power hooked up all the time so she'd have AC. Anyway, so I go in there and I smell that, and so I call her because she's just hanging out at her friend's house all
hanging
the time.
Hanging out. She's not going to work or anything.
No.
She's hanging out.
No, and she wants to go to this festival that's up north. There's like, it starts with an F. I don't even know the name of it.
Festivals cost money. I know that.
Right. And so she wants to go to like this 4-day festival. And I said,
4 days.
Yes.
I'm like, money every day. Then.
I'm like, you can't go. You shouldn't go. She's like, well, I am going and I can go.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, great. So you do what you want to do. But I went out to the trailer. It smells like weed. We're borrowing the trailer. I'm not going to pay to have it decontaminated when you leave. And if you're going to go to this concert, that means you're not working and you're not trying to get a job. So you can just get out. You have till June 1st. I'm having the trailer pulled away.
You gave her a few weeks, though.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
I'm like, you can go ahead and you can get out, and I'm going to have the trailer pulled away, and I guess you can live in your car, and in 6 months, I'm turning off your cell phone, and I'm not paying your car insurance.
Wow.
So you can just figure your stuff out, because I'm done.
How long did you give her before you turned stuff off? 6 weeks?
So you said 6 months.
6 months. Still being very nice.
I'm trying, but the only reason it's 6 months is because I just switched phone carriers, and I have to wait 6 months before I can switch.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's just
making
good choices.
I think it's important that people listening understand. We're not talking about a 15-year-old or even a 17-year-old. We're talking about a full-grown 21-year-old adult.
Yeah, that thinks she's still a child. Yeah, I don't understand. And you know her mantra, I think I'm going to get hats made for it.
Yeah, it's not make America great again.
No, it's I didn't ask to be born, so I shouldn't have to pay to live. That is her mantra in her life.
That won't fit on a hat, but
a t-shirt maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't ask to be born. It's your fault I'm here, so
right.
you get
to pay for me to be alive since you wanted me. Like,
wow.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I can't do it. And so I texted her friend that she's been hanging out with, mm-hmm. and I said, hey, I'm letting you know I'm dead serious. June 1st, I'm having the trailer pulled away. She's got to figure out her own job. She's got to figure out her own life. I'm not paying for this. And then you know what? She said, my daughter texted, she's like, don't text my friends. That's why I didn't want you to have her number.
Ew.
Right. And then my daughter asked me for money for the festival.
I hope you didn't give her
no, money. She's like, hey, can I have like $50 or $60 for food at the festival? I'm like, no.
Wow.
She's like, I guess I won't eat. I'm like, okay. I guess that's your choice. Don't eat then.
So I can tell you this, Mello, from what it sounds like, she's starting to become the sponge. She's already been a sponge for you, but mm-hmm. for her friends, too. And you know what? That turns friends off.
Yeah.
If someone is spongy. Like,
unless they're codependent.
Mm,
right?
Yeah.
Then it could be.
I guess you could give back in way emotionally or whatever. Mm-hmm. I admit, when I was a teenager, I had a buddy. And he didn't have a job, and I did. And we always took my car everywhere, and I always bought everything. And I guess his payment to me was he was my friend. So I guess mm-hmm. I can relate, but it kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. I said there were some nights I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing it. And then I would do it anyway.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So I'm not very happy. And my husband's like telling me that I keep enabling her. And my other daughter's like, I told you you're going to enable her. You always enable her. I'm like, I'm trying to stop. It's hard. Because I love her, yeah. and I'm sad.
No.
And I want her to be successful.
And again, years ago, my neighbor said, whose child was living under a bridge in mm-hmm. Washington City, and brought her home, let her move in, you know, 30-whatever-year-old daughter. And she said, and we were like, we had little kids at the time. We're like, how can you do that? She's like, wait till your kid is living under a bridge and then see what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I've never had that, but I have had a kid move out because I told him he had to leave if he couldn't keep my rules, and he chose to move out rather than keep the rules. So
mm-hmm.
that was hard. That was a tough time.
Yeah.
But he didn't end up dead in a ditch somewhere. Man, it's tough. Being a parent of an adult child is actually harder. Mm-hmm. I know people don't want to hear this. Being a parent of an adult child is harder than being a parent of a small child.
Yes, because you can make all the choices when they're small.
Mm-hmm.
You can even choose what they're going to wear. Like, you can choose everything.
Exactly. You are... Even though they might throw tantrums or whatever, you are pretty much in control when they're little.
Mm-hmm.
When they're 21 or 30 or whatever, and they make a choice you don't like, guess how much say you have in that matter?
Mm-mm.
Very little.
Nope, yeah. Not at all. So I'm just trying to be strong and trying to let her make her choices. It's just so hard because I could help her if she would let me help her. I could.
Is there any way you could go, okay, listen, I'm going to do this and this and this for you if you do this and this and this. I guess you've kind of done that a little bit,
yeah.
But would she agree to some kind of contract that way where if you get a job, I will help you this way? Or if you, I don't know, straighten up around the house or
yeah.
I don't know what it would be.
No, because then I turn into her employer because she's tried that before and she's come back and said, hey, can I do this, help you with a staging job and you pay me? Or can I clean Lydia's room for you and then you pay me? Or can I do this or that? And then I end up paying her and then that ties her over. Then she can buy more weed and she can just live another day without having to get a job.
Mm.
So I'm just enabling her. So I just told her no more. I'm giving you $0 ever anymore. None. Done.
Wow.
It's hard.
It's tough, Mom. It's really tough.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so tired. I'm tired of, like, if somebody would have told me a long time ago that all this would be happening, I don't know if I would have had as many kids.
I would have stopped at one.
I would have stopped at like 3 or 4.
My oldest son always says, you guys should have stopped after me. He says, well, everything else is a mistake. You just should have stopped. And of course, my second son said, well, we should have stopped after 2. And my third son, after 3. But I have 5. And not as many as you. Mm-mm. But my second youngest is getting married. So this will be my 5th married child.
Nice.
That's a week from tomorrow.
That's exciting.
It's funny because my wife, so folks that don't know this, if you haven't had kids get married, if your son gets married, you're pretty cool, man. You arrange maybe a brunch or something, pay for some suits. It's pretty much, I'm good, right? If your daughter gets married, that's a whole different animal.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to pay for and arrange and put together pretty much everything.
Flowers,
except for those couple of things. Yeah, all of it. It's
menu. Yeah.
So my wife had said, you know what? I'm just going to give her a budget and tell her she can do it all. Just here's your money. Do whatever you want to do. I don't want to be like involved in all the arrangements. Well, that didn't work. Oh, she has a budget, which she's overspent. But she has involved and it's one of those things like, hey, Mom, I arranged this. Can you follow up on this and this and this? Not a big deal. Just follow. And of course, my wife has turned in. She's pretty much doing it all now. So
my daughter did a really good job. We gave her a budget. I gave her some money. Her dad gave her some money. And then she just made it all work.
Yeah.
And I got one of my friends donated the flowers for her wedding. So that was super nice.
I must say this. If you're coming to the Griffin reception next Saturday night, we're going to have Bon Roo.
They used Bon to be Roo.
We're going to have Bon Roo, and we're going to have Zeppi's Custard.
Ooh.
So
soft serve, but it'll be good.
You said you like the custard.
I do. I'm just messing
with
you.
All right. It is time now. Let's give away some of those tickets. I have a pair of tickets for tonight and for tomorrow night. And if you'll give us a call at 673-5890 tonight and tomorrow night for Wizard of Oz at Tuacon. Give us a call, 673-5890. Mello, what number caller would you like?
I don't know. You tell me. It's your.
There would be two of them. So we're going to have two winners. So why don't you just take caller number 3 and 4.
Okay.
All right.
Are we doing both of them right now or just the first one?
We'll do two of them right now. And then at the next break, I'll give away those last two. So, again, Friday night and Saturday night. When you call, tell Mello which night you want. Wizard of Oz premiering at Tuacon tonight and tomorrow night. I've got two tickets for each show. Give me a call, 673-5890. Mello will answer your call. I will get weather going here.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Andy Griffin. 9:35 on KDXU. Mello is here as well. Mello, you got us some winners, right, Sam and Lisa?
That's right.
All right. Congratulations to them. They'll be going to Tuacon tonight for Sam, tomorrow night for Lisa and family. And that's cool. Wizard of Oz, which I have not seen that at Tuacon, so I can't offer an opinion on how good it is, but it's going to be hard to top the movie, right? I mean, everybody's seen that movie umpteen. And which holiday? It seemed like one of the holidays. You always watch Wizard of Oz. I can't remember which one.
I don't remember.
Memorial Day.
I did see the Tuacon Wizard of Oz, though, and it was pretty cool. They have, like, the witch flying and the monkeys. It's cool.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah. There you go. They did kind of flood the stage for Little Mermaid. I thought they were going to really flood, like there was going to be like 3 feet of water or something.
No.
They just flood the bottom of it a little bit.
We live in the desert.
Watery.
Just use your imagination.
I'm sure it's recycled or something. I don't know. But anyway. All right. A couple of things. Let's start here. We've talked about this week on the show, but I want to get your take on it. I'm going to read the news story. Here it is. Washington County schools will soon have stricter rules around personal device use. This week, the Washington County School Board approved a new policy aimed at limiting screen time during school. Under the new rule, students from kindergarten through ninth grade will face bell-to-bell no cell, bell-to-bell cell ban on phones, which means that if you have a phone and you're that age, you must keep it in your backpack or your locker until the end of the day, although exceptions can be made in case of emergencies. High schoolers will have a little more flexibility. They'll be allowed to use their devices during lunch and actually between classes. This policy will take effect at the start of next school year. You have kids. You have school-age kids. What is your take on this?
My daughter that was in ninth grade this last year, when she went to Snow Canyon for the first part of the year, they had the no bell cell-to-cell rule.
Okay.
And she would still text me during class and still pull out her phone and
during
FaceTime
class.
Me. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So,
and did you, when she did that, what would you do?
I was like, I thought you weren't supposed to be on your phone. She's like, shh, I know, I just have to tell you something really quickly. Yeah.
Oh, man. I saw a meme once that said, hey, if you think you're fooling teachers by putting the phone in your lap, we know you're on your phone. Nobody looks at their crotch and smiles, right?
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So my daughter-in-law has four children. Mm-hmm. So my son and daughter-in-law, she made the statement once. This was last year, so maybe she's changed a little, although I doubt it. She said, my children will have their phones with them, or I think she said something to the effect of, you can pry them from their dead hands because they will always have their phones with them.
What?
She did not like this new state policy. And I was a little bit stunned because, so her dad is a police chief, Cottonwood Heights. She's got really kind of a rule keeper background. So for her to say, we're not keeping that rule, that was surprising to me. Her kids are, what, almost six, and then the little ones that are two.
I think it's a good rule because I think that there's so much time wasted with the phones and with social media and distractions and cheating and looking at answers. I don't think anybody's ever going to be as smart as our generation because we got through school with encyclopedias.
Yeah.
Like, we actually had to retain and learn.
Look it up, yeah.
And now with ChatGPT and AI answering everything, I really worry, like, for the next generation of doctors and dentists and professionals, what they're actually going to know based on what we as older generation know. And I hate to, like, put myself in that time because I'm not even 50. But
well, we're pretty close, but,
no,
yeah.
Not even close.
Here's the thing. I don't know if I should be bothered by this or not. But my doctor, if I go in and I complain, say my elbow hurts, right? Mm-hmm. I have this red patch on my head. This is fictitious. I'm making this up. I have this red spot on my elbow and it hurts. I go to the doctor and I say, hey, doc, this is weird. I have this red spot here and it really hurts. You know what the first thing he does? He doesn't pull out his phone, but he's got that computer right there and he goes to... They call it, I think it's some kind of portal, doctor's portal, so we don't have access because we're not doctors.
Mm-hmm.
But in essence, he Googles it.
Really?
I know, okay, it's a web portal and it's a doctor and it's not really Google or whatever. And I'm telling you, he's sitting there, okay, red patch, sore elbow, what do I do? You know, and I don't know if I should be bothered by that or not. Should I be?
Yeah, I think there should be people knowing what's going on, especially like with my dad that was in the hospital this last week. I want people that are knowing what his concerns
are
before it's too late, before he could have a stroke from all the fluid in his lungs and his chest. You know, and I really want people to have that innate knowledge that they know what's going on without having to look it up and hope they get the right answer.
I went to a neurologist it's probably been 3 months ago. It's having to do with my back and my weird leg and everything. Mm-hmm. And he did not, the only thing he looked at the computer for was pictures of of the x-rays and MRIs that had been taken. And he was basing it, and he's not that old, maybe 40, maybe younger. But he was basing his diagnosis on the pictures he looked at and the experience that he had. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah.
I don't want a doctor to look it up. Now, that being said, if there's sometimes you get doctors who, oh, well, it's this way. I have one doctor, oh, you're just getting old. That's what he always used to say. Drove me nuts. You're just getting old. Well, can you at least ask somebody or look it up? Or, oh, you're just getting old.
He said it
over and over. He said it to me and my wife both. And so I do want them to have the ability to statistically show me that it's more than you're just getting old. But there's something about experience. If there's a doctor and if I had the red patch on the elbow and a sore elbow, I don't really, I'm making this up, but if I did, I'd want the doctor to go, oh yeah, I've seen that 8 times over the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what that is or probably what it is. I don't want him to Google it and go, well, but
it looks like it is.
Yeah.
I will say though, there was a younger emergency room doctor. Mm-hmm. I think he was probably 35, 36.
So this is here in town?
Here in town, yeah. Okay. He was so quick. He knew exactly what to do with my dad. He did the ultrasound on his chest and he diagnosed it just exactly what it was and got him right up to the ER and got everything started with the blood thinners that he needed, just everything. He was spot on. And he was younger. I was like making a joke with my sister. I'm like, Doogie Howser's in here helping dad. But he actually knew exactly what he was doing. And it was so refreshing. So maybe I can't just lump everybody into that. But it is a concern with all of the assistance that people are getting with their knowledge bases.
Yeah. And I, boy, talk about ER dogs. I had one on not that long ago. These guys in the ER, you don't have time to Google. I mean, you're on the front line of trying to save someone's life. There's no time for you to Google it or to consult with other doctors or anything. The ER docs are impressive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
These
they
guys are on it.
They do know their stuff.
One of the guys I had on last week was that he is an ER neurologist or a hospital neurologist. And I was like, wait, what is that? And he specializes in strokes. So if someone has a stroke or is having a stroke, they call him in because time is of the essence if you have a stroke. And that's his specialty. And I said, how did you get that specialty? He says, I don't know. He says, it was interesting to me. And I treated one or two people who had strokes. And then all of a sudden it became my specialty because I was doing it over and over and over again. And now I know strokes like the back of my hand. And that's pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. So 9:43 on KDXU. Mello has to take off. She has a commitment, a work commitment in a little while. So we're going to take a break and let you head out. Mm-hmm. Any final words on this Open Line Friday before you head out?
I just need to be strong. She's gone for the next little bit. She also said, well, Mom, I just got a job watching a dog for $30 a day for 11 days. That's $330. I'm like, you are joking me.
$30 a day?
Yeah. I'm like, and then she has to go up north to do that job because she hasn't changed her location on her availability. I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You could work one day and make like $100 at a gas station.
And she's going to spend $100 in gas up there and back.
Oh, gosh. I just can't fix it. And it's so hard. It's so hard. That's my quandary is like trying to parent adult people.
Be strong. You can do it.
I know. I'm going to try. I know.
All right.
Thanks.
We'll be right back, folks.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
All right, we're going to throw out four quick things here in the last 12 minutes of the program. Let's start with number one, Walmart announcing they're going to have to raise prices a whole bunch because of tariffs. Now, if they'd have said this a week ago, I'd be buying it. Not maybe literally, but I'd be like, okay, yeah, because we got the 145% tariff on China and all that stuff. Well, that's not in place anymore. In fact, it was announced that the tariffs would be on hold and they would drop those tariffs down way, way down. And Walmart, in my mind, in my belief, is they're trying to get you. They're trying to get me. They're trying to gouge us. They're saying, hey, we can't afford to buy stuff anymore, especially electronics from China, and so we're going to raise the price of everything. I think Walmart is really being greedy in this. I think they stand to make. By the way, Walmart had one of their biggest quarters ever this last quarter, and now they're announcing, well, with all the tariffs in place, we're going to have to really jack things. So they're going to make more money. Walmart is a monster, a giant, and it's a U.S. company, but Walmart at this point is. Methinks thou doth protest too much. We really think they're saying, oh, tariffs bad, tariffs bad. Well, tariffs are not bad, number one. And number two, tariffs are not as big as they're making them out to be because the big tariffs are on hold right now and Walmart is going after. So if you have any thoughts on that, you can text me at 467-5842. 435-467-5842. All right, there's that. Item number two, about the airplane from Qatar or Qatar, depending on how you want to say it. I think it's technically pronounced Qatar. But anyway, they want to offer a $400 million airplane, luxury jet, to the United States to convert into Air Force One. Well, a lot of people are like, oh, how can you take that gift? They're just trying, you know. I mean, that is, number one, that is political gamesmanship. There are a lot of people, their whole job is to try to influence politicians. They're called lobbyists. It happens all the time. That's the first part. The second part of it is Qatar is offering the jet not to President Trump as a personal jet. He doesn't need one, trust me. But he's offering it to the U.S. Air Force to be owned by the United States for President Trump to use as Air Force One. It's not going to be hit. And you say, well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is they gave Bill and Hillary Clinton a $17 million helicopter, Qatar did, back when he was president, that Bill and Hillary still use today because they offered it to them personally. That's the difference. This plane would not go to Donald. He would not use it if he wasn't president, unless he buys it from the Air Force, because the Air Force is going to own it. U.S. is going to own it, not the president. All right, that's item number two. Item number three, much less serious. This is a study from psychology. Maybe it's more serious because this affects us all on a personal level. A study from Psychology Today, published in Psychology Today, says social fitness is just as important as physical fitness. Here's Bree Tennis with a little more on the study. Bree, what?
The study is among the longest at 87 years, where researchers at Harvard looked at happiness. And it turns out it comes down to our relationship with others. The study found if you have a social outlet with friends, you're not only happier, you're healthier than people who work out.
Wait, what?
The study says friends stamp out loneliness, reduce stress and anxiety, improve mental health, and increase longevity. I'm Bree Tennis.
We're seeing it more and more. The medical industry, which said emotional well-being is different from physical well-being. They are two separate things. That's what they've been saying for our whole entire lifetimes until the last couple of years. Now, these big shot medical doctors are going, you know, we're finding out that loneliness actually affects physical being. We're finding out that isolation actually makes you less healthy. We're finding out that being ostracized, outcast from society is actually detrimental, not just to your mental well-being, but to your physical health. We're finding out also that the cell phones that we thought were going to bring us all closer together and have more friends are actually isolating us more and more and more, and our health is suffering because of it. People don't believe that, but it is absolutely true. And actually, there was a study last month. I don't know. I did talk about it a little bit, but being hard of hearing is part of being isolated. And they're saying that's one of the reasons a lot of older people are getting diseases like Alzheimer's, because they lose their hearing. They maybe will wear a hearing aid, but as anybody who wears a hearing aid knows, it doesn't just amplify voices. It amplifies everything. So if you're in a crowded a mall or a restaurant or bus station, any place like that, a bus station, I guess we don't really have those, but you know what I mean, a crowded area, you try to turn it up so you can hear the person next to you, all you hear is more and more of the background noise, the really loud background noise. So you have a lot of people, a lot of older people go into restaurants, and they can't even converse with the people at their table because they can't hear them. All they can hear is the din, the noise of the restaurant. That kind of social isolation is detrimental to your health. And I don't know what the answer is. Maybe try harder to get involved. I think one of the, hopefully we're doing this. If you're around someone who doesn't hear so well, speak up. It's not that hard to do. I am slightly hard of hearing, but I have my brother and my dad who have some pretty severe hearing loss, and I'm lucky because I have this deep kind of a resonating voice. They can hear me most of the time. But there are others in our party, if we have a get-together where they can't hear them. They just, you know, they try to glean what they can from the conversation from me or my brother-in-law, who have pretty loud voices, and they can't hear them. They're only getting half the conversation. So I guess my advice to you, if you are a person who maybe is around someone who doesn't hear so well, speak up. Try to involve them in the conversation. Speak directly to them. You would be amazed how important lip reading is. It helps to, if someone's talking to you, but you can't see their lips, remember the mask thing in 2020 and 2021, right? It's harder to hear what they're saying because you may not be reading their lips per se as they're talking, but you are using the movement of their mouth and their lips to confirm that you did in fact hear. Like if they say marshmallow, they're going to see you mouth the M and the M, marshmallow, as you're talking. And that's really important. It helps because they, you know, you throw up marshmallow in a conversation, that's going to be, did he really say marshmallow? But if they saw your mouth move, making the sounds for marshmallow, they're going to be like, yeah, I guess he did say marshmallow. All right, so that is take number three. I guess I could bust on Mello since he's not here, but I'm not going to do that. Take number four was on energy drinks. This one, we should have seen it coming. We tried to tell people about energy drinks, and they didn't listen to us, but there is an ingredient in energy drinks. Well, I'll let Michael Kastner explain more.
Taurine is an amino acid that occurs naturally in parts of the human body and promotes the growth of leukemia cells. It's also commonly found in energy drinks, protein powders, and some foods like meat, fish, and eggs. Researchers from the University of Rochester found that those leukemia cells can use the additional taurine to grow and spread. I'm Michael Kastner.
Taurine is the name of the chemical, and it is very, very common in energy drinks. And, you know, besides all the stuff, the artificial amount of caffeine, often artificial sugars, taurine causes cancer. It promotes the growth of leukemia cells. And, man, I lost a couple of friends to leukemia over the years. I can tell you that is one disease that is unforgiving. It's a cancer of the blood. And you say, well, wait, cancer of the blood, isn't the blood go throughout the whole body? Yes, it does. Leukemia basically is spreading cancer out throughout the whole body, through the blood. And It is brutal stuff. And hopefully we'll start to understand that these energy drinks, I know people who haven't, I got a big thing coming up. I'm going to pound a monster or whatever. What's a little blue and red one? It's a Red Bull. I'm going to pound these energy drinks and it'll get me through it. It might actually. And it does work. And I guess maybe that's the thing that's hard about it. It does give you a burst of energy for an hour or maybe even two if it has a lot of caffeine in it. But inevitably, with these energy drinks, there's a crash. Kind of like if you pound the coffee, right? Or Mountain Dew or whatever. It's not good for you. All right, real quick, tax. The tariffs will always just be a tax passed on by the business to you and I. As a realistic conservative, it's just a fact. The business will not pay a tariff and not pass it on to its customer. Just not good business. But my point with the tariffs with Walmart is they use the tariff, which now has been put on hold, the big one, there's still a little one, to raise the prices a bunch. So that they can make more money. I don't believe that. I just am not buying the idea that Walmart has to charge a whole bunch more for goods from China because of the tariffs. I don't think it's going to be that much more unless they really do eventually enforce the 145% tariff. I think Walmart is just saying, hey, we're doing good and we want to do even better. Let's face it, even our good friends, when it comes to money, it makes me sad. I remember doing a show years ago, and there was a big headline person that was the kind of the name of the show, and the show was named after him. I was just the guy pushing the buttons, right? But he had, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 sponsors. And I had one, like, minor sponsor, and I asked him about his sponsors, and he's like, well, you got to get out and sell. And all that stuff was true. But he said, I said, well, do you have any recommendations? He's like, well, if I had recommendations for you, then I would basically be giving you one of my sponsors. And I don't want to do that because then I would make less money. when it comes to money, well, business is business. What's the old saying? It's not personal, it's business. Yeah, I don't know if I'm buying that one, but it is true. I just don't know if I like it. Out of time. Be back Monday. Jack will join me on the air back from Mexico when we are on Monday. Good luck, Snow Canyon and Crimson State Championship Baseball tonight.